You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have baseball coming up later on today. The boys doing quite well lately. Mm-hmm. Our broadcast starts today at 5:40. The crew in Atlanta. You can catch the game on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN, in Park Falls on WCQM, and our newest Brewers affiliate, WBZH. Hello, Hayward. So join us for the game today. Crew at the Braves. Our broadcast starts at 5:40 today. Delighted to be joined. She leads the Wisconsin League of Women Voters. Deb Cronmiller is here, the executive director. Good morning, Deb. Thank you for joining us at the last minute.
Good morning.
I look forward
to our conversation, as always.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. So the Voting Rights Act is being celebrated for its institution, 60-plus years ago?
60 years.
60 years tomorrow.
What's going to be happening at the league?
We are sponsoring a 60th anniversary event in the Capitol. We will have about 200 attendees, a little over 200. And our national president of the board for the League of Women Voters is our keynote speaker at noon. And I'm very excited. We're going to have some great breakouts in the afternoon led by attorney T.R. Edwards from Law Forward and Judge Derek Mosley from Marquette University.
It's wonderful.
And we are going to talk all things voting rights and really celebrate the great accomplishment, which was the passage of the Voting Rights Act. Talk a little bit about some of the attacks that the Voting Rights Act has seen over the last number of years, and how we can support the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act now, currently, to ensure that these rights are all restored and that everyone's access to the ballot remains intact.
Well, and honestly, this is fantastic, Deb, and I expected nothing less than what you'd be putting together here, because the way it was first brought to us, I was thinking it was more of a dinner to celebrate, maybe a keynote speaker. But this is an all day. This isn't just a celebration. This is a get boots on the ground. Let's get working. Let's talk about the importance of this. And how do we, of course, as the league always wants to do, preserve democracy?
Correct. And that's, you know, our mission is to defend democracy and empower voters, and really combining you know, you have to be educated as a voter. That's why civics education is so important to the league and so many of our partners. But with that education, you are empowered to elect your representatives. And those elected representatives are supposed to, you know, carry your voice
right
to the Madison Capitol, to D.C., or to your municipal leader boards and, you know, councils and whatnot. And when they fail to, that's the crisis that is the breach of our Constitution. And that's why in April, our National League declared we are in a constitutional crisis. We have a judiciary that is no longer the check and balance for the executive and the legislative branch at the national level. We have a Congress that is not holding, you know, the things together that right they are supposed to be doing by the passing of laws. And we have an executive who, frankly, is trying to do the work of the Congress, which is not the function of the executive, and through executive order, trying to make law, which is not constitutionally permissible. And so many moving parts. But at the end of the day, we've got, you know, kind of run amok government entities, and we've got to pull it back. We've got to retain or regain what was our strong commitment to representative government, to our democracy. And we will do that. And the crux of that is really shoring up everyone's access to the ballot, making sure every ballot is counted, making sure every voice is heard, but most importantly, making sure every single voter recognizes that they are the power. The power is not in the executive. The power is not in the Congress. The power is not in our courts. The power is with the people.
We the people.
Yep.
That's what it says. We the people.
Has a pretty good ring to it.
Does. I kind of like that. Deb Cronmiller is here from the Wisconsin League of Women Voters, and we're talking about an event that they're having tomorrow in Madison to mark the passage of the Voting Rights Act 60 years ago. Deb, for people who may not be familiar with this, and there's no shame in that, but why was it necessary? What was the impetus in the Voting Rights Act? Why was that necessary?
Well, there are so many reasons, but I think what we had been fighting for, you know, in 1920, when the League was formed, suffrage was granted to white women. So that left a whole bunch of voters behind. Our you know, women of color were not admitted at that in 1920. So there were reasons to be fighting. And what we saw leading up to 1965 was a real outcry by the people that they needed to have voice in order to be full citizens. And we saw, you know, at Selma, we saw so many fight and, you know, literally fight,
yes,
for these rights. And then finally, in 1965, a very robust Voting Rights Act was passed. And, you know, the franchise was expanded to include all these, you know, previously disenfranchised groups. And we worked so long and hard since 1965 to preserve that, only to see in the last decade, you know, real assaults to what is people's ability to be empowered, to have their vote, to have that vote counted. And, you know, here in Wisconsin, for the last decade and a half, you know, we saw the very real impacts of what I think of as run amok government with the gerrymander.
Yep.
You know, we are a purple state. We should have, you know, half of our congressional delegation should be blue and half should be red. The same should be true in our legislature in Madison. And yet that's not what we see at all. Mm-hmm. And that is the kind of the remnants of what was that extreme gerrymander. And we're, you know, so happy that in February of 24, the governor actually signed into law more fair maps. But that doesn't mean we're still not experiencing some of the real ramifications of having that severe gerrymander. And only as we go through more redistricting cycles will we see the true benefit of fair maps, which is why the League, our partners at the Fair Maps Coalition, are working so hard to actually stand up a independent redistricting commission. Let's take this power of, yeah, redistricting out of the hands of elected officials who have a motivation,
yes,
by the way, to retain their power.
Yes.
And let's give it to the people. And let's make sure that the maps are fair and that we can test their fairness using all the models that are coming out of academia. We don't have to have maps being drawn in secret by people who are trying to retain power. We can have maps being drawn transparently by people who know how to make sure that districts are contiguous, that they are compact, that they meet all the constitutional requirements, and that all of our communities of interest in, you know, all across Wisconsin are heard and are represented in those maps. And that's a thing that hasn't happened for a decade and a half in Wisconsin.
Well, and it's when you put it like that, Deb, it's so basic. Why would you give the people who have an absolutely vested interest in the results of these maps, I'm going to put it in your hands to make this decision on your, on how this will affect your future? Because, of course, you're not going to have any bias as to how this gets drawn. To have an independent person unrelated to politics draw up maps that should, quite frankly, not make anybody 100% happy. Right.
And
but I believe isn't that a rule? You can never make 100% of people. All the time.
But right. I mean, it's if they're going to be fair districts, then we should be able to have fair fights. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And we have to be able to have the conversations. You know, we have to draw boundaries. And some of those boundaries can be geographic boundaries, a river, a county line, a, you know, municipal boundary. But some need to make sense. You know, some need to incorporate a community that share a common interest, maybe a farming community, a water district, a tribal area. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to keep these voting blocks together so that as is, you know, defined constitutionally, we have a voice in determining our future. And that right is, you know, above all, you know, it is the right that we have as citizens living in this democracy. And when we chop and block and take all of those rights away, essentially, then we get what we had when we were under the extreme gerrymander.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
it just is, it is not functioning. It is not sustainable. It is not good for the people. You know, in the Fair Maps Coalition, we've put up a lot of information to the people about important issues. You know, we want Medicaid expansion in Wisconsin. We want better access to health care. We want a strong, clean environment where our children can, you know, breathe clean air and drink clean water. And yet these are not the bills that our legislature is advancing.
Yeah.
They're advancing bills that, you know, aren't coming from the people.
Right.
They're coming from a small faction.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Deb Cronmiller is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, and she's joining us on Matt and Air on Air today to talk about the event they're going to be having tomorrow in Madison to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. And before we take a pause, I just want to say something really quick too. You are a nonpartisan group. These are nonpartisan issues. These are things, as we spoke about earlier, that seek to take care of the people of Wisconsin, empower them, make democracy stronger and better. And this is not something that should be up for a, well, this is liberal, well, this is conservative. No, this is about the people, we the people, coming together and making a simple decision to say it's important for our voting rights to be not only secured but enshrined and never touched and never threatened. And with the matter of the maps, make sure that those areas represent all the people and individuals who seek an office of public service must work to get that, not just be handed to them because it's easy.
Well, and that's the whole thing about the gerrymandered maps, which we went on and on and on about. But if you want your lawmakers to actually have to respond to you, they can't be in these super safe positions where no matter what they do, there are no ramifications. That's the whole idea behind Fair Maps, is to actually keep our lawmakers accountable. Crazy idea to us. We're going to continue our conversation with Deb Cronmiller, the executive director of the Wisconsin League of Women Voters. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in a little bit after the 10:30 news, Civic Media's, we call her the genie of just about everything. Emmy winner Terry Barr is going to be joining us. She has a great piece she does that airs across the network called Slice of Wisconsin. And she's going to have a quiz for us. Pop quiz.
Oh, God. Every piece of anxiety I own in my system is just raging right now.
It's not that much pressure. Trust me. It'll be fine.
I believe you.
He's going to study now. It's really fine. And we're going to wrap up the show. We have Tisbat. This shouldn't be a thing to wrap up the show. And then I'll have an update on the bird that was stuck in my birdhouse. If you're wondering about that, that was...
That was not a euphemism, by the way, either.
It's a bird stuck in a birdhouse. Anyway, our guest is the executive director of the Wisconsin League of Women Voters. Deb Cronmiller is here talking about a big event they're having tomorrow in Madison. Can people still attend, Deb, or is this kind of a not open to the public event?
Well, we closed the registration at the end of last week so we could get everybody lunch and make sure that they have refreshments and that sort of thing. So it's not really a walk-in event, but we're just very hopeful that, you know, everyone who has registered makes their way to the Capitol so they can, see the program and hear from our wonderful speakers. And we do have a number of members of the press who will be there to cover the program, and we are having a press conference after the program. So hopefully you'll hear more about it.
And it's a good reminder for folks, and we talk about this, but we haven't talked about it probably enough recently, is for people to go back and just to make sure that their voter registration is still there, because various states handle this differently when they decide to start purging voter rolls. Mm-hmm. Right.
And in fact, Wisconsin just completed its regularly scheduled, as is in statute, what is called the 4-year maintenance. And if you haven't voted in the last 4 years, but are showing as active in the voter registration list, you were in fact removed from the voter rolls as an active. You moved to inactive. Which means for you as a voter, if that's your situation, then now you're going to have to re-register. So the league always, you know, suggests that you go to myvote.gov to get your confirmation that you are still registered. Yeah. And if you're not, you can re-register there so that the next election you'll be able to vote. And though it seems like a long way away, because our next election isn't until next spring, maintaining your registration on a year-round basis is a good thing to do.
It is.
Why wait until you're in a panic right before the election? You could do that now. So go ahead.
Yeah. Myvote.wi.gov will include a link in the show notes. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is go to that website, you put in your address, and that will tell you your voter status, along with every person who represents you, all of their contact information, which is there for to be used, is the way that I look at it. That's why they have their phone numbers there.
And if you're new to Wisconsin, if you recently moved into the state, you can use that portal to register. You do have to upload some additional documents to make sure that you complete your registration. You can always go in person to your clerk's office and register there. And but it's really, you know, that's the first step to being, you know, a voter, to having access, to having your voice heard, is registration. And then go do it. Vote on election day.
And I think one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up is because we see nefarious plans from all over the country trying to purge names from their voter rolls for whatever reason they're doing. And I don't want to focus on that right now. What I want to focus on is that this was a routine maintenance that happens. There was no bad plans behind it. And also speaks to the level of competence and excellence that Wisconsin's voter system is, the way elections are handled, they're run, they are trusted by most. But also, I think that it's important that people know that these names that are being moved from active to inactive is simply a matter of process than someone twisting their mustache saying, we shall kick them off the rolls because for whatever reason, this is just business.
But what is happening in some other states does seem to be the curly mustache going, yep, we're going to find some ways to get these people off of here because they don't vote the way we like.
Right. And that's one of the reasons that we're blessed, all of us, to live in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You know, our statutes are so prescriptive about how our elections are administrated. And the 4-year maintenance is described in statute. It's not to disenfranchise. Mm-hmm. It's to just make sure that, you know, we're checking in with a voter at least once every 4 years to say, hey, you haven't been exercising the franchise. Are you still here?
Yeah.
Right. Do you still live where we thought you lived? Do you, you know, and if they don't respond to the message, then they do leave the rolls. And then the league actually is part of our work. We request that list and we try to do follow-up.
That's wonderful
for
you.
So for people who are still
Love
in
that.
The state, we'll text them, you know, we'll try to get them to go register, and we'll show them how to register and how easy it is.
That's fantastic.
So, go to myvote.wi.gov just to check to make sure you are still on the voter rolls. And if you got pushed into that inactive file, there are steps you can take to get back on the active file. Deb Cronmiller, you have a great website too, Deb, and you have like a whole toolkit and everything at the league's website.
That we do. We have many toolkits, and but you know, getting registered is a very easy process. You know, we have just passed a constitutional amendment which changed nothing. It just says we need IDs. Well, we needed IDs before, so bring those when you come to vote.
Yeah.
And then to register, you'll need both an ID and your proof of residence.
We will include all the links in our show notes. Yep. Deb Cronmiller, the executive director for the Wisconsin League of Women Voters. Thank you so very much.
Thank
Deb.
You
it
for
was
making
great
time.
To see you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the app, the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and our resident young person, Calvin, on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at the same number. You can also leave a voice note at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on, Todd Alba's show today, 2 to 4. He will be joined by Kyle LaFond, who's the founder and president and CEO of Natural Contract Manufacturing. He's also a member of Main Street Alliance, and he's going to talk about the tariffs and how these are impacting Wisconsin businesses.
He's also on the board for, I think, public radio. He's on a board that deals with, I'm sorry, I apologize for not knowing the exact thing, but he's also going to be talking about the closure of the Corporation for Public Radio or Public Broadcasting, which is something we're going to keep that conversation going on this show as well, because we want to talk to some people about that.
Yep. So join Todd today. Going to be a great show, as always, 2 to 4 across the network. Right now, this is the portion of the show we call Audio Sorbet, where we like to take a breath, get away from the news, and have a little cleansing for our brains. We call her Civic Media's genie of just about everything, because she does pretty much everything around the network. Emmy winner Terry Barr is our guest. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good morning, Greg and Jane, and you call him Young Cal.
Yes, Young Cal.
Yep, Young Cal.
Young
Ooh,
Cal.
Ooh, I like that too.
Adventures of.
Oh, it's great to be with you. I have a question, though, for you.
Sure.
Mustard or ketchup on your brat?
I would go mustard.
Yeah, you know what? Okay. I'm going to say this. In my younger years, definitely a catsup type person. Like, of course. And as I've gotten older and my palate has evolved, I'm more of a mustard person, and then throw a little, if I'm allowed to, throw a smidge of sauerkraut just for that crunch.
Oh, that's delicious. Okay, here's why I'm asking about the mustard in particular. I went to a recent Brewers game, and it was the $2.50 brat night.
Oh, boy.
What?
I think everybody was worried the brats would run out, so people were buying 2, 4, 6, 8 brats at a time. Nobody could find mustard. It was crazy.
That's interesting.
The friends I was with, she'd run over to one, another would run to another. We're all yelling, "There's no mustard! What's happening?
It's the end of the world!"
The horror!
I know. Yeah, first world problems. I know. Well, then that got me thinking, what is the deal about mustard? And from there, that took me to, there is a National Mustard Museum
in
Wisconsin.
Yep. Yes.
Yes. How about we play something for you to kind of get you in the mustardy mood?
Oh, let's get in the mustard mood. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let's do that. Calvin, hit it.
On our hot dogs, on our bratwurst, mustard is so cool. Never mayo, never ketchup, they're against the rules. Gleaming gold and mellow yellow, smooth, rough, sweet, and hot. Fight, poop on you, will fight and eat some lunch.
Oh!
But that's, I have chills. I have chills.
I'm so glad. That is Barry Levinson. Barry is the founder, the owner, the president. He's the everything. And he cuts the mustard for sure. He runs the National Mustard Museum in Middleton, Wisconsin. And for people that don't know where Middleton is, it's right outside of Madison.
Right.
7,000 mustards he has, and you can taste every single one. He has a 16 bar for mustard.
So does he have like a mustard flight?
You know, I think he does. And then I think he offers it with different meat or cheeses or crackers so that you can get the full flavor.
2026 road
like
trip.
I have to ask him.
Go on.
How do you know when you have a favorite? And this was so cool from him. I didn't realize Wisconsin actually makes a lot of mustard.
We do.
As well. Yeah, his favorite is made in Evansville by Ring Hands, and it's a beer mustard.
Okay.
But he's so funny. When I talked to Barry and some of his team, obviously we were having a really good time. He said asking me which mustard is my favorite is like asking which is my favorite child.
Yeah, but no, most people don't have 7,000 children, so well, I mean
let's say maybe Elon, but that's a whole other discussion.
All right, this is Audio Sorbet. Don't now two things, Terry. I must one,
yeah,
who puts mayo on a hot dog? That's what I want to know. I just want to know what kind of beastly beast does that. That's just too much. Also, can I offer a tagline for the Mustard Museum?
I would love to hear this, Greg.
The Mustard Museum, a must see. You know what? It was better in my head, all right?
As so many things.
You know, why do I look at Jane? Why do I?
I know.
You know how many times I've laughed at your puns?
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
No. I would totally. Yeah. Road trip 2026, I feel like that's really.
I would mustard.
Yes. And obviously he has all the Wisconsin mustards you can try, plus, you know, 6,500 others. And it's free. It's free admission.
What?
It's open every single day.
Is it just his house?
Mustard Museum in Middleton. Wow. And this is going to be my slice of Wisconsin this week.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's so fun.
I would never have thought it possible for there to be 7,000 different varieties of mustard.
Yeah. It's pretty wild, isn't it?
That's
crazy. So then you think about here we were at a Brewers game and we couldn't find one single container that still had mustard in it.
And then meanwhile, they're like, you guys want ketchup instead? And people were like, get out of my stadium.
Oh, it was true. All the ketchups were full.
Oh, sure.
There was not a mustard to be found.
I always thought that putting ketchup on a brat was kind of a food crime. And one of those unspoken food crimes.
I didn't know.
You can put mustard and ketchup on a hot dog, but mustard and ketchup on a brat, I think that's a whole different category.
Yeah, well, we're taking it to the new level, and obviously the song that we played to kind of get this whole thing started, it is something that Barry wrote. He calls it the Poupon You. I love that. Poupon You. Fight song.
So
when you're having a bad day, just listen to that and you'll be all happy again.
If I'm having a bad day, I'm going to Middleton. I'm just going to go there and be like, I brought my own hot dogs, buddy. Here we go, Barry. Let's do this.
If you're just joining us, Terry Barr is our guest. She does a great feature across the network called Slice of Wisconsin. And she's going to be focusing on the Mustard Museum, which has been around a long time. I didn't realize that this was completely not profit driven.
No. He does take donations and obviously sells mustards.
Sure.
But otherwise to him, it's a love he has. Mm-hmm. And it's just something he started it in the 90s. And to him, it was just something he discovered one night walking around the grocery store. Can you imagine? He's looking at the mustards and thinking, if I build this mustard museum, they will come.
I must honor them.
There you go. There you go, Greg. You got it.
We have little bottles of Grey Poupon coming out of the cornfield. Yeah.
Aaron Cruz on the live stream says Mexicans put mayonnaise on their hot dogs. Okay, cool. For me, mayonnaise is and Calvin's in the chat trying to start fights with me here, saying, "Do you put mayo on a bologna sandwich, Greg?" First of all, I haven't eaten a bologna sandwich since ninth grade. Can that be different than a hot dog? Okay, stop getting philosophical on me, Captain College. But I just find Barry's being for me is something to behold and something to look up to. Just in the, even if you don't like mustard, this is a man who wanted to start a mustard museum. And I am sure there was more than one person who said to him,
"Are you nuts?
What?"
Yeah.
Yes.
And he said, "Yeah, I'm doing this." And he has done it. And he loves it. And he has a song. And it's an amazing pun. I just think that's fantastic. And I would love to go there. I would absolutely love to go there.
Put it on our road trip list.
There you go. There you go. And
yay!
Also,
I'll meet you there. Oh, my gosh. This would be so fun.
Terry, in your
It felt like the right time, too. We're hitting the, I hate to even say, we're hitting the end of summer.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are trying to jam so many things in. It's a great place to go. It's an easy drive from wherever you are in Wisconsin. Yeah. And he'll take good care of you.
Well, it sounds like you could spend several hours there. It's going to take me that long just to taste 7,000 different mustards.
How far are you, Jane? Seven. I'm at
10. You know, I'll be here till Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Well, and he does make it fun. I don't care what age you are, but he sets up mustard containers like a bowling alley. So you can bowl the mustard container.
Why do I live in this state? I love it here. Yeah. It's amazing. I'm so proud. I'm so proud. Really quick, in your research on this, in your deep, detailed research, I know you're scientific in this stuff. Do you see anybody with that same love for ketchup in as much as almost? Because like to me, if there are 7,000 mustards, that reminds me of like craft brewing. I know you can go places at farmers markets. They make like specialty ketchups that may have a little spice or this and that. Yes. But I feel like ketchup isn't treated with as much artisanal value as mustard is. Like there's a mustard museum and there are 7,000 of them. This is a science to some people.
Well, and he told me also another one of his favorite stops is in Eau Claire. It's Silver Spring Foods, and they actually have two of the international award-winning mustards. One is made with horseradish.
Ooh.
Oh, and this one sounds lovely.
Oh,
one is dill pickle.
Come
mustard.
On now.
Ooh. That's that.
And again,
calls to
all
me.
Wisconsin.
Oh. Okay, so Middleton,
Eau Claire,
and then wherever north we go, we'll go to like
we'll end up in Bayfield.
We'll go to Bayfield. Okay, there we go. I have a feeling.
Lovely.
Well, we need to find Wanderoos. I feel like Wanderoos is
we
a place.
We can stop in Wanderoos.
But yes, oh my gosh, we're gonna be so busy. Our doctors are gonna be so unhappy with us.
Oh my gosh, you guys, your last road trip was amazing.
Thank you very
much.
So
fun to watch and listen.
We had so much fun, Terry. We genuinely did, and just met the most lovely folks, and it was a fabulous experience. We would love to do that again. So hopefully, on the road. Before too terribly long. Anything you are working on that you would like to tease us with for your next slice of Wisconsin?
Well, I got this slice that I'm working on. I'm also working on some other Wisconsin State Fair and other fairs around the state, trying to find and dig into some really different stories. The art at the fairs, which sometimes is forgotten. So we're going to be looking into some of those, and I'll be sharing those as feature stories coming up in the next couple of days.
These are all on our website, aren't they, Terry?
Yes. Yep, they sure are.
And I do want to point out as well that when we have guests on whatever we're talking about, a lot of times Terry will take our video from the live stream and our audio from the show and then write up a great like a companion piece to go along with it, which you do a fantastic job, dear Terry. You really do.
Oh, thank you. Well, and I was listening to your interview with the League of Women Voters. I think that one needs to be done.
Deb's
if people
great.
Are confused, especially.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah,
we thank you very much, Terry, for your time.
Add into a story today.
She is Civic Media's genie of just about darn near everything. Terry Barr has been our guest. We'll see you in a month.
Okay.
Sounds great. Stay close. We have This Shouldn't Be a Thing to wrap it up, and I'll give you an update on the bird.
Mm-hmm.
stuck in my birdhouse. That's all on the way. You're listening to Matinee on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park. Join us at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were talking to Terry Barr before we went to the break.
Mm-hmm.
Terry does a great feature across the state on civic media called Slice of Wisconsin.
Yes.
And we were talking about a potential, we're putting together another road tour.
Yeah.
Hello, management. Andrew from Maine, texting and listening on WAUK, says your next tour should be the Beyond the Cheese Tour, so you can broadcast from the Mustard Museum in Pat Kreitlow's boat. I like the way you think, Andrew.
These are amazing ideas.
These are fabulous
ideas.
I'm
so happy. And then we can broadcast from Pat's boat while eating cheese, talking about mustard.
What could be better than that?
A charcuterie board with mustard flights on a pontoon boat.
Just mustard flights.
I may never come home.
Well, I'm sorry,
honey.
We're having too much fun on the road.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. Real quickly, before we get to this shouldn't be a thing,
mm-hmm.
a little update on my birdhouse situation from yesterday. And this sounds silly, but I've thought about it a lot, why I was so obsessed about this, and I'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. But I have this bird that has been stuck with his little head out of one of this slat on the side of this birdhouse, not the hole coming out the front. And so I got home yesterday. He's been stuck there for 2 days, and it was driving me crazy. And so I got home, and I looked at the front, and it looked like his eyes were closed, and I thought he was dead. And so I got the ladder out, and I managed to pull out the birdhouse from the back, and I moved it just a little in case, because I didn't want to break his little neck.
Yeah.
And I got the birdhouse out, and I pried off one of the tops, and there's two little birds, and they're looking at me going, what?
Yeah.
What?
I'm trying to sleep, lady.
It was fine. I'm fine. So Darwin and Louise are fine. Once I saw they were okay and his little head wasn't stuck in there, mm-hmm. and I couldn't get the panel back on because there were nails, and I couldn't get the nails to line up correctly, and I don't want them stabbing themselves in their little heads. So the birdhouse is back with a slight minor roof adjustment.
It's got a skylight. It has a skylight. Do you know what the property value on that birdhouse is going to be? It's going to be a sky. If it was in Tulsa, it would be so expensive to live there.
But I thought a lot about this and why it was bothering me so much. And I really think it's because, and I don't think I'm alone in this, a lot of us feel frustrated and helpless and unable to do anything for things that are going on in the wider world.
Yeah.
And it feels very frustrating and really, it makes you crazy. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything. It can wear you down.
It can wear you down.
And so I think in this instance, I felt like I have the opportunity to do something.
Yes.
This is a small, insignificant thing, but I think that was why it was making me so crazy. And I just want to thank everybody who texted in yesterday and called in with suggestions. That made me feel so much better. I cannot thank you enough for caring about that.
Thank you for sharing all that, Jane. I really appreciate that. And I'm sure everyone listening does as well. And it's not a little thing. It's important to you. It's important. That's all there is to it.
Well, and hopefully, again, now we have a skylight on the birdhouse, so we'll see what happens with that. I'll keep you updated on Darwin and Louise, which is kind of what I landed on. We'll see how that goes. It's late. Calvin, we can squish it in. Let's do it for today, 10:56. It's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Here is the headline from CVT News. Camper singing his heart out triggers search and rescue response in British Columbia. A man camping alone singing was mistaken for someone in distress, prompting a full search and rescue response, including police and a drone team from British Columbia. Volunteers say they were in the midst of a training session last week when they got sent out to a popular hiking destination. Two concerned hikers called 911 after they said they heard repeated plaintive cries. People who responded found one guy, lone camper, singing his heart out to the trees, blissfully unaware that the acoustics of the area had turned this into, it was sounding like he was yelling for help and he was actually just singing.
He was singing Help by the Beatles. That was the problem.
He wasn't in trouble unless you count his singing. He's all fine. Everybody's good.
Again, another situation, whether it's the Mustard Museum, Barry from the Mustard Museum, it's someone just doing what they need, you helping the birds, doing what you need to just feel a moment of amazement, whether it's building a museum, helping a bird, singing to the
singing
trees.
Singing to the trees.
Never stop doing those things, people, and I'm being dead serious.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and all of our traffic people and everyone at Civic, because without you, nothing works. And thank you, most of all, for calling and texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, 11 to 2, Todd Alba, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, The Incredible Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 with Nightlight. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.